Hello and welcome to the Public Health is Essential podcast by the Washington State Public Health Association. My name is Megan Moore.
And I'm Gloria Rogers.
We have officially made it to the 8th week of the Washington State legislative session. And a very special week it is because tomorrow we are officially halfway done.
Yay, halfway. Yay. I thought we'd never get here.
I know. I can't believe we're only at the halfway point. It does feel a little like we're 200 days into this already. How's it going, Gloria?
I'm doing well. This feels a lot easier to keep up with this year, for sure.
Yeah.
But I can tell everyone's tired.
I agree, including myself. I want to come clean about a mistake I made in last week's podcast when I was talking about House Bill 1531, the bill to prevent communicable disease, or the vaccine bill. I mistakenly said a resolution was passed in Lincoln County when I meant Franklin County. And I know it doesn't sound like a big mistake, but it really was. I'm sorry to all of my local health colleagues.
A lot was happening last week. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep all the balls in the air. Yeah. And we had another cutoff, right?
We did. Last Friday was the House of Origin Fiscal Committee cutoff. Now, a lot of bills that were expensive didn't make it. I'm still going through my list to see what died, because when you look on the website, it doesn't actually tell you what has died. You just have to know it's still in fiscal committee. It didn't make it out. So that means it's dead. So I'm still going through my list, and it's still going to take a couple days for me to do that. But I do know one update. I know we're all pushing for House Bill 1203, which is the flavor ban, but it didn't make it past the cutoff and is considered dead this year.
Oh no, that's a bummer. We were hoping that one would go through.
I know. But it's also very hopeful that we made so much progress this year. We got it through the policy committee, which was, to be honest, a huge hurdle. Now we'll just keep educating and gaining support for this policy in the interim.
Hope is not lost.
Nope.
All the people who had bills that die will be working on this in the interim, for sure.
Exactly. Sometimes we have to play the long game. So right now, bills are getting pulled out of rules and onto the floor, getting ready for floor debate, and they have just 9 days left to do this.
Oh, and how can we see what is on the floor?
Well, when you're in person, there are these like big reader boards, these big TVs that display the order of consideration. But when you're online, you can find what is called the floor calendar. And on this page, you will see what is essentially waiting in line to be heard. It's just like the reader board on the website. Remember that the Senate is a little bit more transparent than the House, and they post their bills that will be up for consideration for the day. So in both chambers, you can watch the floor debate live on TBW, but then at the same time, pull up the order of consideration and follow along. You need both websites to do that. And legislators will be on the floor through March 12th.
Oh, I didn't realize you needed both websites to follow along. That's a good tip.
Well, you're welcome. Okay, so while I work on taking a deeper dive into which bills are dead and which are alive, we have a special treat for you today.
Yep, I'm not the only one with questions here. A group of students sent us questions that they have after following along, and we're going to go through some of them today.
Shout out to Professor Nixon and the Western Washington University Nursing RN to BSN degree students.
Okay, first question. You have talked about contacting legislators regularly to build a relationship and to keep our issue front of mind. Does this include tagging them in social media posts, email, making appointments? What is a good way to start?
All of these are great options. The younger legislators, especially, are on social media. So the most common way that I communicate with my own legislators is through direct message on Instagram. Of course, they also want you to interact with their posts so that they get a larger internet presence. So make sure you do that too. Then maybe through Instagram, you end up getting their phone number and now you're able to text them. But use this number and text sparingly. It's really helpful when you're trying to set up a meeting with them, or like if you are actively headed to meet them in person, you can be texting with them. And then, of course, traditional email is a great way to connect. Legislators have staff called legislative assistants, or LAs. So if you email your legislator, you are always going to include their LA in the copy line. Oftentimes during session, the legislator doesn't have time to monitor emails. So the LA is the one who's actually seeing the email first. Make sure your subject line is informative. Like if you plan to meet with them, say something like, quote, constituent meeting request, and then the policy idea like rural nursing program or something like that. Or maybe you want to put something very important in the subject line, like the date that you're meeting with them, like action needed, information for constituent meeting on March 15th. Sometimes those catchy things really get them to read your emails first. Then in the email body, make sure you are gracious, express your thanks for the work that they are doing, and that you are straight to the point. Nobody has time for a thesis-length email. If you have a study or data or resource to share with them, attach it to the email. Don't go into details into the body of the email. Sometimes in the health sciences field, we get a little too excited about every single detail. And that's just not where legislators are at right now, at this moment. Mm-hmm. So if you plan to have a meeting with your legislator, make sure you email them those resources or one-pagers in advance. They do not accept paper most of the time when you see them in person. And then if you plan to meet with them in the interim, take note of the campaign season. If your legislator is running for re-election, they will not be able to use their @leg.wa.gov email address or their staff person. So email early before they officially file for re-election and ask if you can have their campaign email address and the name of their campaign staff person. They will also use a different social media account during election season, so make sure you are following both their official one and their personal or their campaign account.
So students have been following bills, communicating with legislators, and writing policy briefs. How can they keep the momentum going in the interim?
The interim is the absolute best time to keep working on policies. First, though, take a little rest if you need it. Legislators will be taking a rest. Likely the month of May this year will be a rest month. Then check back in to see if they are willing to have a constituent meeting in their district. It can be as easy as a coffee date, but it can also be a meeting to show them the problem. So maybe you're really affected by students vaping on campus, for example. Ask that they meet you on campus in September and just go on a walk. Show them your concerns. These meetings really have a huge impact on legislators.
That's a great tip. Okay, so we know many of the bills this session will make it through the cutoffs. How can students continue the conversation about these issues with legislators? What does it look like to advocate for a cause independent of a bill?
First, when a bill dies in the long session, it doesn't officially die. It will be revived in its current form with the current bill number in the short session next year. So remember that. Because if your bill dies, there will still be work through the interim. Okay. If you happen to be an expert on a certain topic, or even if you have a lot of lived experience with that problem, you can ask the bill sponsor if they plan to host stakeholder groups in the interim and ask for an invite. This is a great way to stay connected with the policy, but also to take part in like the real meaty stuff, like helping to write parts of the bill. So if a bill dies in the short session, it will need a new bill number and it will need to totally start over. You can still ask to take part in stakeholder meetings. Like these still happen without a bill number. In both cases, there might be groups who are leading these policy conversations that you should connect with. So some policies have entire campaigns behind them. You could ask to be included in the interim conversations during these policy campaigns. But beyond joining conversations, there is a lot of education that happens in the interim. So maybe your legislators just don't know anything about a certain topic that is really important to you. This is the time that you meet with them, talk to them, show them why your topic is important using data, stories, or like I said, physically showing them the problem.
Okay, next question. How can people be effective doing advocacy when they aren't doing the work full-time outside of their full-time jobs?
This is really hard. And for the government sector, we've talked about this quite a lot about advocacy versus lobbying, right? But if you're not in the government sector, like this group of students is nurses, they are super busy and they won't be able to do this for their job, like during their workday, right? Pick one topic that you are going to dedicate your time to and leverage other groups that are really working that topic, right? So if you are really interested in housing, go to the groups that are doing housing policy and ask them how you can be helpful in a low capacity way, because you will be doing this in your off time and on the weekends, right? So there are groups who are doing this for their full-time job and leverage their resources and ask them how you can be helpful.
Yeah, I think a lot of these organizations are also looking for volunteers.
Yes. So yeah.
It doesn't hurt to reach out and connect with them. Okay, last question. Coalitions, alliances, and other advocacy groups can be really helpful when it comes to impact. How might one get involved with a coalition or other group?
This is kind of what we were talking about in the question before, right? Yeah, this is how the work gets done on policies. Like these coalitions or these alliances are the ones pulling together the stories and also pulling together the policy details, right? And they're the ones with the resources that can do this stuff in their full-time job. So sometimes groups have memberships and they are going to ask for their members and prioritize their member stories first and foremost. But sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily like a membership organization that is leading it. Maybe it is a group that has some other funding source, grants or what have you, that are, you know, that you can rely on. In that housing example, maybe the Low Income Housing Alliance, right? That is an organization that's not a membership organization, but they are advocating for housing policy. Or like the group I mentioned, campaigns, the group that is doing the flavor ban called the Flavors Hook Kids campaign. It is just a group of people that have come together with a little bit of funding to help with this policy idea. And so getting connected with those groups is a really great way to go as well. Try to find the people. And if you don't know how to find the people, then connect with someone who might know the people, right? Like people who are working in, who are very interested in health policy or policy adjacent fields, like connect with us. We're happy. I'm happy to connect you if I know the group working on something. Or for these nurses, maybe WISNA, the Washington State Nurses Association, maybe they know who is working on something. So connect with them and they can lead you to the right direction.
Well, thanks for those tips. That was great. I definitely enjoyed reading those questions and answering those questions for people. We definitely welcome all your questions. And that's a wrap.
Oh, already. All right. Well, thank you so much to the students in the RN-BSN program at Western Washington University. If you have questions that you want answered on the show, please email us at info@wspha.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Public Health is Essential podcast by the Washington State Public Health Association. Have a great week.